Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I told you guys, like, I'm just using the Cavs to basically fuel any happiness that I have for the day. And that's not good considering, you know, we've only played less than a handful of games at this point, and I have to use that to fuel my happiness. Because I usually, by the time that we get to Tuesday, right, this is both the good side of the show and the bad side of the show, where we don't talk to you on Monday and Monday Night Football takes you through, is that usually by Tuesday, I get some time to cool off. Allows me to be a little less reactionary and view things in the full scope or for what they are right now. And again, I think that's both a good and a bad thing. It's good because it allows me not let my tempers flare throughout just one day removed from a Browns game. Bad because, well, my tempers then sometimes just continue to flare and they continue to grow larger. This is one of those weeks. Like, I usually think that getting here right now to talk to you guys by this point, that I have been calmed down. I think I've actually just sat here and gotten angrier. Like, from when the game ended to where I am right now, I don't think I could have been any more just leveled with my anger being at the top. We reached this peak and plateaued at the peak, and I've just been angry ever since. Like, I don't expect it to be good, right? I don't expect you even to walk away with a win on Sunday. Predicted a win. I went ahead and was the optimist on Sunday and said that the Browns are going to be able to pull off that win because I sat there and basically convinced myself the Patriots were overrated. And in a lot of ways, I think the first half kind of proved that not so far off. They probably are just overrated. The second half proved why it doesn't matter and the Browns are just hot garbage right now. That's really what it was. That's all the second half of Sunday's game proved to me. And I guess I just continue to get mad when I go back and think about the fact that we watched Myles Garrett have a historic day. 5 sacks in one game, put on an absolute masterclass, and yet the team continued to fall short over and over again. And even if you lose that game, yeah, you're going to be disappointed. If you lose that game by 3, I'm like, well, at least it felt like Miles was making a real contribution here, right? At least it felt that, you know, Miles went through and it brought you into this game and allowed you to be close. When you put on a defensive performance like that and then also get blown out, find myself looking in the mirror going, how did I reach this spot? Yeah, how did I reach this spot in my Browns fandom? That I am watching one of the greatest defensive players I will ever get to witness with my own two eyes, and also watching him play on such a horrible team that just has no chance to back up his performance. And in a lot of ways, I know that people are going to sit there and be like, well, Miles signed a $160 million contract. He's getting paid $40 million a year. And when he inked that contract, he knew exactly what he was signing up for. Yeah, you're right. He did. He knew the team that he was coming back to. He knew who the GM was. He knew who the head coach was. They would like to tell you he knew who the quarterback was going to be. I don't think he had a single clue of what the quarterback situation was actually going to look like. But like, sure, Miles signed up for it. Doesn't mean you don't feel bad for Miles after watching Sunday's game. Like, in a lot of ways, sure, you can say all the things and request the trade and take it public and make things a little bit ugly. And at the same time, when you sign the contract, as long as you show up to work for the next 4 years, or as long as the Browns want to keep you there without trading you or anything else, when you show up to work, a lot of that other stuff goes away. Right? Like, you show up and you want to be a guy that produces, you want to be a guy that gets onto the field and does his job, and it performs at the highest level and continues to perform at the highest level. I do look around and I'm like, okay, well, you've erased some of the ugly. Right? I'm going to remember that. It's going to stick in the back of my mind that Miles always did it, but I'm not going to continue to hold it against him. As I look at a team that is perpetually set up for failure and still manages to exceed the expectations of failure in the worst way possible, it's like, no, you feel bad for Miles. You do go out there and look at a guy that's just playing his ass off, doing everything in his power to try to bring success to the Browns and to the Browns' defense, and even try to help out the offense on the other side, and it looks like the other side of the ball, I mean, they look like a high school offense that has no clue what they're doing. I mean, from top to bottom. Quinshon Judkins barely touching it. I can guarantee you go to any high school game, you find the best player on the field, you're going to figure out who that is very quickly, because he's going to have the ball in his hands about 75% of the time. Quinshon Judkins is the best player for the Cleveland Browns, and while, yes, he got hurt in this game, even prior to that, it's like, where did Quinshon go? Right? Like, why does Quinshon not have the ball in his hands? So, yes, I feel bad for Miles because I'm watching an offense that can be bad talent-wise, but somehow manages to make it worse than it really is every single Sunday that I witness it, and everybody has a part of the blame there. Everybody has it. Like, again, Miles wants to go out there and pour his heart and soul into the game. Sure, I'm sorry, but when the guy goes to fight for me, we can make arguments about whether or not he's doing enough as a leader and he's vocal enough as a leader and he needs to step up in those areas. Sure, that can be true for Miles. He maybe he does need to step up in those areas. Maybe that continues to be true in his role on the field. Like, at the same time, I don't pay you $160 million to go out there and be a leader for me. You get paid $160 million because when I look at the sacks total at the end of the year, it's reading double digits and probably above 14 no matter what year it is. Like, that's why Miles gets paid. A quarterback, you might pay for part of the leadership. A defensive end, you don't pay to be a leader necessarily. You pay him to put out a product. And Miles has continued, despite saying that he doesn't think this team can win, despite looking around at this team and realizing that they're still garbage, still goes out there and plays harder than anybody else on that field on any given Sunday. So yes, I feel bad for the human being that said, you know what? I'm going to be loyal to Cleveland. I'm going to sign up and I'm going to play for this team. And I'm still going to go out there and put out my best effort every single week. The Browns have felt like they've lied to us a lot leading into this season. Not like I trust them anyway, but they have continued to try to sell you, this team's better than we think we are, or than people think we are, right? We're not the 5-win team that people are projecting us out to be. We're not the 3-win team you saw last year. And trying to sell you on 2 rookie quarterbacks that, at the very least, one guy people don't want to be sold on. They've gone through and, again, told you a lot of lies, that things you can see with your own two eyes. The one thing they haven't lied about is when everyone went up there, looked in front of a camera with a mic in front of their face and said, I mean, Miles might be better this year than he's ever been. This might be a career year for Miles, right? He might be better than he was last year. Over and over again, I'm like, all right, how big of a step up can we see from Myles Garrett? It's games like these that make me realize, oh, he is playing at a higher level. And you can go back and watch the tape. The sacks number might not have matched it before last week's game, but you go through and look at the way he's played against the run, it's been improved. You look at the way that he's created quarterback pressures, it hasn't taken a dip. Like, he has continued to be the same, if not a better player, every single time he steps out there. So I just, when Miles goes through and has to answer press conferences and has to say things like he did on Sunday, it makes you feel bad. For instance, let's listen to what Miles had to say.
Frustrated. I want to win. I don't care how much time is on the clock. They got their starters in. There's a chance we can win. I want to be a part of that. I don't care how dire the situation looks. I'm going to try to make something happen. So I hate coming out of those situations. I hate, you know, that kind of inevitability and not being able to do anything about it. Because I want to win. I'll do anything.
Oh, but don't worry. Miles doesn't stop there. Doesn't just end it at the fact of, oh, I'll do anything to win. When they ask Miles, hey, would you give up a 5-sack performance for a win?
It doesn't get any easier each week you ask me. So I would throw the whole performance away for a win.
It doesn't get any easier. No shock. Like, we're looking at one of the highest level competitors, a guy that you can't make an argument. Oh, well, he just doesn't want to win like everybody else. He doesn't want to win more than anyone else. Like, Miles goes out there and consistently shows, yeah, I want to win. And, like, I don't have to agree with 100% of what a guy does or how he handles his contract situation to realize that I have a player that's playing at an elite level that's going to be a no-doubt Hall of Famer that's going out there and giving my team the best chance to win with him on the field, no matter what the amount of money I'm paying him is. And then tell you, no, I don't feel bad for him because he decided to sign this contract. He decided to be here. Guys, are we forgetting the narrative of it too? Like, sure, Miles could have kept it going. He could have made it ugly. Browns looked him dead in the face and said, you can make it as ugly as you want. We're not trading you. Like, that's not on the table. People want to compare it to the Micah Parsons situation. Very seldomly did we hear anything come from the Cowboys of, like, we will not trade Micah. Right? Like, that just won't happen. It was a lot more so of Jerry Jones blabbering about, you know, anything can happen and alluding to the fact that he would trade Micah, especially as the process went on. I don't know the Browns would have just caved into that. We talk about Kevin Stefanski being stubborn every single Sunday and not wanting to change things, not wanting to go away from his scheme, wanting to make it work his way, especially with the quarterback situation. You think Andrew Berry's really going to be that much different? You think Berry's going to be the guy that caves into a request? No, I don't think so. So Miles did the one thing that was in front of him. And again, I gave Miles a lot of scrutiny during that situation. I think rightfully so. Like, there was criticism to be deserved about the way he handled it. But it doesn't take away the fact of the player that I'm watching right now. Yes, I continue to feel bad for Myles Garrett every single time I have to watch him take the field and go out there and play at an elite level while the rest of the team around him doesn't even attempt to play at an elite level. When they take the easy way out, when they don't try to extend the ball down the field, and they don't try to be a good offense, they don't even try explosive plays, and when they don't try them, they're not even successful at the plays that aren't explosive. They can't even get the easy stuff right. It's like, yeah, Miles knew what he signed up for, but it wasn't that. This was not part of the deal. The offense looking this bad was not the expectation. It wasn't going to look good. It also wasn't supposed to look the way it does right now. You should be able to look at a historically good defense, a team that is playing at a high level in the NFL, and say, okay, well, because they're doing their job, you're competitive in every game. Can't even get that. Can't even get that right now. So, yeah, I feel bad for Miles. 216-474-0092. Do you feel bad for Miles Garrett? You can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C. Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. Of course, you got the Station Buzz at 740. We're talking to our very own Daryl Ryder coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get to get a grip at 9. We're going to talk some Cavs. We're going to get to a Blind Tier Tuesday because that's what it is. We'll bring in Michael in the 10 o'clock hour for that. But right now, 216-474-0092. Do you feel bad for Myles Garrett? In which I don't know how you look at this and hold on to a contract situation and hold that above his head, above anything else, when you're watching the human, the player, perform the way that he is. We're going to get to your guys' calls, Alfonso, Eric, all of you guys at 216-474-0092. We're getting you coming up in 5 minutes and more about what the Browns actually do from here on out with Miles. All coming your way on Overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. You had the opportunity to request your trade. You did request your trade. You had the opportunity to try to make it ugly, force your way out, or risk, you know, sitting out the season if that's what it wanted to come to. And you did end up inking the contract and sending a message that, hey, I cared more about the money than I did about winning. If this was truly about getting a ring, coming back to the Browns was not something you were ultimately, you know, striving for, thinking that you could get it done this year, probably next year. And then if you really don't have faith in the organization, you don't have faith in the guys running it, you wouldn't think years three or four either. But if you do, then maybe I can make an argument for years like three and four. Maybe that's on the table. And again, part of that is true. Part of that is also like, just you can sign up for that and still, when you go out there every single Sunday and watch this team just flat out stink, still sucks. Like, it's just still bad. It still doesn't feel good to watch Myles Garrett put out historic performances and me have to sit there and reflect like, wow, Miles is going to go out there and have a career year, probably be up for a Defensive Player of the Year award once again, potentially have an opportunity to win that award, and I'm going to be looking at a team that, I don't know what, walks out of this season 3 wins, 5 wins, and the wins that they get are not going to be impressive. They got 2 wins right now, and I was impressed by neither of them, especially on the offensive end. But I wasn't really impressed with either. was impressed with Miles, was impressed with some of what the defense.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But when it comes to the team as a whole, it's like there's not even really a building block here, right? Like, it's great. I have a good defense. I can build on that, but I already knew I had that. I already knew the defense was good. You could have told me that last year. I knew that there were things that weren't helping this defense be at the product they were. I know they made adjustments this year to make that defense even better. But I look at the offense like, okay, well, if my building block is the running back that it feels like my head coach refuses to use at times, and a tight end that sure looks good. David Njoku's look good at times too. You've had that building block and haven't used it properly either. It's like, okay, well, I don't have a ton of faith in Kevin. I don't have faith in a quarterback. The offensive line's only going to get worse after this year. Like, there's a ton of things. It just makes it feel bad that it's like, yeah, Miles, you could have sort of seen these things coming. Doesn't make the product any better. Again, 216-474-0092. I want to get out to some of you guys. Let's go to Eric is in Cam's Corner. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, Jake. What's up, man? This is a great topic because I have been wanting to talk about this, but I never got around to it. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't necessarily say that I feel bad for Miles because, you know, I think loyalty probably played a part in why he re-signed with the Browns. I more or less feel frustrated or annoyed for Miles because that was definitely an all-time great performance. But even putting that aside, you know, when you end the game, because it was 9-7 for a while, You got to have, like Sheriff said, I mean, Mark Sheridan, you got to be able to play complimentary football. And that has not happened all season, basically. And a lot of your colleagues on the station say, well, Miles needs to be a leader, needs to be that. Well, he's leading by example by his play on the field. Everybody's not going to be a boisterous type leader, right? And so if his play exemplifies leadership, then that's what I need to see. The leadership should be coming from the quarterback position, and we're not getting that. And I've watched enough of Dylan Gabriel to tell you that I don't think he's the guy. I'm not saying it's time to put in Shador, but I know Dylan Gabriel's not it. He can't see over the line. There's so many negative things to say about Dylan Gabriel. We don't have enough time to talk about it in my little 2-minute call. So the Browns are this insatiability that they have to be the smartest organization in the room, but when you look at the play on the field, it's the it's the worst play on the field. So they need to get their heads out of their rear ends and get a football team on this field, like the line, the receivers. They should have seen all that stuff coming. And I can't blame Miles for being loyal in a athlete climate where people say athletes are not loyal anymore like they were back in the day. So I'm glad he stayed, but he definitely deserves a better offensive output than what he's getting, because the defense is showing us that, hey, we can stay in games, but we can't hold teams down for four whole quarters if y'all only putting up 3, 6, 7 points.
Yeah, that's
the part that don't make sense to me, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it, Eric, and I appreciate you making the call as always. I mean, listen, a lot of this, like, guys, I think when we talk about, not in Eric's call specifically, but when people are going to say, I don't feel bad for Miles because he signed up for this, it's like, a lot of ways, I think there's a lot of recency bias attached to that. Like, I think that people would have felt bad for, I don't know, say LeBron after he came back to Cleveland, if things weren't going his way. And in a lot of ways, in a lot of finals, I would say people probably did feel bad for LeBron, especially when you go back and it's like, oh, well, he's missing Kyrie, he's missing Kevin. LeBron can't do it all. It's like, yep, LeBron hung out to dry too, like, but he came back, so you felt okay about it. You have a recency bias of Miles coming back, but it doesn't feel like it's on his own accord the way that necessarily LeBron did it. And it's like, yeah, I would love for Miles to be the guy that stands up in front of the room and people just want to follow behind because of the way of his words. I'd love if that was Kevin Stefanski. It's neither of them. Miles goes out there and leads by example. We have another star in town that people love to death that does the exact same thing. Jose Ramirez does not lead by standing in front of everybody else and screaming from the mountaintops. No, Jose Ramirez goes out there and plays his ass off, and people are like, that's what it means to play in Cleveland. Miles does the same thing, and it's a problem. And it's only a problem when things aren't going your way, right? People want to pick and choose with Miles not being a just vocal leader of when that's going to be an issue. Miles not being a vocal leader is not a problem right now. That has nothing to do with this. Your defensive end doesn't need to be the loudest guy in the room. Doesn't need to be the one leading people into charge. You don't see that almost anywhere else in the NFL. It comes from your head coach and it comes from your quarterback. The two guys that really feel like they're leading. And right now you have neither of them. You have neither of the guys being what it feels like people are willing to go into war for and listen to every single word they say. I can't blame Miles for not being like, yeah, every time he goes out there, people go, oh, that's how you're supposed to play. That guy's a freak of nature. He shows us what it means to work hard every single day that he's on the field. Again, I feel like you got to feel bad for him. Let's go to Aaron is in Bedford. What's going on, Aaron?
Hey, Jake, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm just getting off work. But here's the thing. I don't feel sorry for Miles because Miles has been with Kevin Stefanski since Kevin Stefanski came. Kevin Stefanski has shown Miles Garrett that he can't make the coaching moves to get them to the next level. Personally, I'll go all the way back to the Kansas City game when they knocked Mahomes out and they decided to let not blitz a Chad Henne, they decided to let him throw the ball instead of pressuring. When our best player is out, teams go after us. When their best player go out, we just decide not to go after them. So far as going to this year, no, I don't feel sorry for Miles in that sense because he's been with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. Let me add him in too. These guys have not done enough to put any type of offense together. When you had a decent quarterback who could be salvageable in Baker Mayfield, you chose to make sure that you ostracized him and said you want an adult in the room. But let's just be honest. Being an adult in the room doesn't mean that you're doing the necessary things to make winning plays. Now, Baker did his job. I'm not a Baker bro or anything like that, but Baker did his job when they let him do his job. They had enough time to have good receivers. You traded for Deshaun, which was a waste of time in my mind. Haslam said he had to own up to it. But let's just be realistic. In fact, that's not helping Miles out because Deshaun Watson was shot from the day he came here. And I mean, I like the guy, but he wasn't the same football player. You gave up all those picks once again to do what? And you didn't get any receivers. And you should have got receivers. And that might have helped at some offensive line to help this situation out. So, no. They didn't do Miles any justice, and that's why I don't feel sorry for him because he's been with this team long enough to see what they're doing. It's a smoke screen.
Yeah, I mean, and Aaron, I see what you're saying. I appreciate the call. I also think, like, if we just pin it back on Kevin Stefanski and say he's never done it, guys, he has done it. Like, he's made offenses look good. Offense looked good under Joe Flacco. I'm not saying it looked great. It looked good under Joe the first time he was here. The offense looked good with Baker Mayfield. The scheme looked like it worked. Like, I think in a lot of ways, Miles knew what he was signing up for, and the fact that Deshaun's contract was on the books. He watched Jameis Winston run a completely different offense last year that wasn't the Kevin Stefanski offense. Like, okay, we're going to go back to that, and we've seen, you know, the fruits of the Stefanski offense before. I don't know that anybody can sit there and just say, eh, well, this is the expectation. Like, the offense was going to look this bad, and I don't even think on paper the offense looks as bad as it is right now. I don't care what you think of Dylan Gabriel. I don't care what you think of Joe Flacco or Jerry Jeudy. On paper, the offense is bad. It's not as bad as they're showing it is right now. A lot of that is execution on the field. Like, I just don't think that if we pin this up to, you know, Kevin Stefanski's offense hasn't worked before and he hasn't been a winning coach, because he's gotten you to the playoffs two times. Again, you can make all the arguments about the way the roster was built. That's not him. It wasn't his team. He took a team, he put them in the playoffs, and he got you a play away from an AFC championship game. Kevin has won games before. There is something to look at to say, okay, Kevin has put on paper the fact that he can make the Browns a winning team. It's not like you were expecting him to go out there and win you a playoff game this year. I was expecting him to make the Browns look half competitive, going back to the system that he built, going back to the one thing that he feels there should be a level of trust in running with the quarterback that, I don't know, feels like he kind of hand-selected. And all of that has gone out the window. It's like, yeah, something feels like it kind of needs to change in the way that it's going. And I can't blame Miles for thinking that this wasn't the way the season was going to go. Guys, most of us looked at it, didn't think this is the way that the season was going to go. Might be ugly. You might still be sitting at the same record. I think a lot of people probably said 2-6 at the bye. Not in the way that you've lost it, though. Again, 216-474-0092. Alfonso's in New York. What's going on, Alfonso?
What's up, Jake? How we doing tonight, man?
We're doing all right, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, listen, I'm frustrated, but we're okay. Listen, man, you know what? I wish that you came on Mondays, but you don't because of, you know, Westwood One football. But I gotta go off tonight, man. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of everybody in that room. Listen, you gotta bring this up with Daryl 8 o'clock, bro. Mm-hmm. Tell me why your GM, your lackluster bum of a GM, is not talking on bye weeks.
We're talking to him about it.
What do you mean you're not talking? What do you mean you're not talking, bro? Get a grip, Andrew. Be a man. Step up. Talk to Daryl. Talk to Mary Kay. Talk to Tony Grossi. Talk to our Browns reporters. Tell them why you failed us year in and year out. It is year six. And guess what? And all them people that said, oh, we should give him a pass because of the draft, you're delusional. He should never get a pass. You shouldn't get a pass for doing your job. You shouldn't get a pass for drafting me good players. And by the way, this draft hasn't even been that great because Mason Graham, he's not a bad player, underperformed. Two players have performed good for you. Two, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. Only two players. Dylan Sampson, you don't go to him anymore. After week one, you shut him out. Shador hasn't got on the field. I'm not going to blame him. Dylan Gabriel is terrible. I mean, he's bad. One of the worst picks under Andrew Berry. Might be the worst. Quinshon Judkins, great. You don't go to him half the time. You don't go to him. Because you've got to make Dylan Gabriel look good. Why do you got to make a Toy Story character look good? He literally looks like Woody from Toy Story. Get out of here with that. This is terrible. Everything's terrible. This coaching staff is terrible. Chad O'Shea, the wide receivers coach, is terrible, making our wide receivers look horrific. He needs to be fired. You know who needs to talk? You know who should be talking tomorrow? The baseball guy, Paul DePodesta, your owner, your GM, and your head coach, the four guys that have messed up this franchise time and time again. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of everyone. They should have been fired yesterday, and I don't understand why Jimmy Haslam likes Kevin Stefanski. How could you like a guy that's ruined your franchise? You're delusional. All of them are delusional. All of them. Your owner, too. It's ridiculous. It's flat-out ridiculous, and I'm done with the whole thing.
I got
love you, Dick. I'll take care, man.
Appreciate you, Alfonso. We got to run, but I am asking you guys at 216-474-0092. Listen, I feel like a lot of the frustration, you can't say it's not warranted, okay? Both on the side of the players actually in the building and from all of us sitting there and watching it. It's not the product we expected to get. Jeff, Adam, Todd, all of you guys sitting on the line right now, we're going to get to more of your calls. 216-474-0092. Do you feel bad for Miles Garrett? More of that coming in 5 minutes right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Whether or not you feel bad for Miles Garrett, and I've told you guys, like I do feel bad. We're to the point where, I mean, we're legitimately bringing up the question of whether or not the Browns should be trading or looking to trade Miles Garrett right now. right? Just put on a 5-sack performance. We're going into the bye week. We're going into the trade deadline. You know, Miles' value, at least when we talk about this year, is never going to be higher than it has ever been. This is...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where it gets kind of confusing for me, it's like, okay, so we watch a guy dominate, and we can feel bad for him. I don't feel bad for the fact that Myles Garrett is a Cleveland Brown. I feel bad that the Cleveland Browns are putting a poor performance offensively alongside of him, where you have a competitor that cannot win football games. I don't feel bad that you're a part of the organization. I want you to be a part of the organization. It's the type of player that once I get, I don't want to let go. I don't want to walk. Like, at this point, the fact that people are throwing out the fact that, oh, well, you can go through and we should trade Miles now. It's like, what does trading Miles legitimately get you at this point? Let's say, you know, two first-round picks and then a fine player alongside of it, right? You're not getting a superstar if you're getting two first-round picks. Let's say you get another usable piece alongside two first-round draft picks. Okay, well, the team that you're trading him to, considering Miles has a no-trade clause, is going to be a team that is ready to compete right now that Miles can go win a Super Bowl with. That is the only chance that you have that Miles will actually move anywhere, even if he wanted to. Don't know that he does. I would assume he probably would, but it's going to be a contender. That team's going to be contending for this year. I'd be almost willing to say certainly probably contending for a team next year. So you're getting a late first-round pick twice, maybe back-to-back drafts. Maybe you get it this year and next year. Okay, so I have three first-round picks to try to rebuild. I'm not going to draft Myles Garrett. Chances are I'm not drafting Miles with any of those. One of those picks, if not both of those picks, could very well be busts. They could just be players who don't pan out, whether it's Andrew Berry drafting them or whether Michael Markoch is the GM of the Cleveland Browns tomorrow morning and decides that he gets to use the draft picks and take whoever succeeds Miles in the capital that you get for him. Doesn't really matter. Could still be a bust. Could still not be a play. I don't understand that when we look at things, you're just like, well, it's only going good for Miles and it's bad for the Browns right now. So you know what? Let's just accept more failure. Right? Let's go into a further failure state of just, oh, you got to rebuild this thing the right way. What does rebuild this thing the right way mean? You want offensive linemen? You have draft picks to take them. You need a quarterback? You have a draft pick to take them. Need weapons? Congratulations. You have draft picks to get all of these things. I get it. You're not sitting at, well, you are sitting on like 12 picks, but you're not sitting on 12 first round picks and not all those guys are going to hit. That's what free agency's for. Not every part of a roster is just going to be flat out beautiful. Look at any team, Super Bowl winning teams. They aren't perfect rosters. They're fine rosters. They're good. They're really good. They have elite players. And where they don't have elite players, they put usable players. I'm not saying this team's ready to compete this year, certainly. I don't know if this team will find a way to be ready to really compete and try to even make a playoff push next year. The way that I'm looking at it right now, a lot of holes to address. It's like Trey Miles doesn't go anywhere here. Setting up a whole rebuild guarantees nothing. If being a Browns fan, at the very least since watching for, since 1999, if you haven't gotten that, you know, you can go through and stink and it doesn't necessarily, you get to success at some point. I don't know what we've learned over the past 26 years. It's dead in our face that that's not a possibility. Right? And there's a lot of cap things that go into it, but Albert Breer was on Afternoon Drive earlier on today, as he is every Tuesday, and talked about whether or not the Browns should make that trade.
I mean, it would take some like cap gymnastics to do that. You'd have to restructure some guys, and it might be a little messy. And I would just argue that like in a lost season, this might be the time to do it. You're going to have to, at some point, reckon with the proration on his contract. And I don't know, guys, like I just think of this in timelines, right? Like, and I look at it right now, and if I'm the Browns, the way I'm looking at this is, can I get good enough, fast enough, to maximize what's left of Myles Garrett's prime? I look at the Browns, the hole at quarterback, a hole at receiver, a hole at tackle, and I'm not sure that they can get good enough, fast enough, to maximize what's left of Myles Garrett's prime. And so it might be one of those situations where the best thing for everyone involved is to find him a new home.
Like, and again, it's going to take gymnastics, dealing with the cap, like Albert Breer said, but this is the thing, like, getting good enough, fast enough, guys, you're fixing one side of the ball. Like, if this team is just, well, let's just be frank about it. If they're the Tennessee Titans, yeah, take any good player you have and just ship them off. Now, the Titans have none of them, but the Browns do. But, like, sure, if you're that bad and you have so many holes to fill on both sides of the ball, any player that is of any value who is above the age of, like, 26, go ahead and ship them off. But at this point, it's like, okay, well, you have we're watching an elite defense, right? The scoreboard might not show that every single week, but you're watching an elite defense play football. Okay, so you need to fix the offense, not even to a point to make them elite. You need to fix the offense to a point where I can watch them, where they can at least make you competitive in football games against good teams. There is still plenty of room to actually have that growth, and it starts at getting the quarterback right. The Browns are not just a desolate wasteland of talent. They have talent. There's talent scattered throughout the roster. Like, as bad as Jerry Jeudy has been, I don't think Jerry Judy's a god-awful wide receiver. Just not a wide receiver, one. And certainly when the next best guy behind him is Isaiah Bond, who I can probably count his receptions if I had to take a guess. Don't have the number in front of me, but I'm almost willing to bet I can count him on one hand this year. Okay, it's bad. It's horrible. You have to find other ways to address those problems. You're not that far away from actually being a semi-competitive football team on a talent standpoint. You have things to address, like just to get to a level of competitive, you're not that far off. Is it four? Is that what, Michael, you're telling me four receptions?
He has 11.
Okay. 11 receptions? 11
he
targets.
He has four this month. It says in October. It says for his career, he has 11 receptions on 30 targets.
I feel like somebody's lying there. Maybe not. Either way. Okay, so I can almost count it on two hands. He's still bad. Okay. How many yards does that include? It's got to be, are we sitting like sub 100?
123.
Okay, yeah, enough said. Like, there's nothing behind Jerry Jeudy. There's nothing there. Okay, even if Cedric Tillman was there, it would still be terrible. Like, you just need to put pieces in place. It's not like this team is so bad you just blow everything up. You find the quarterback, and I guarantee you, maybe it's not with Kevin, I don't know, but you guarantee you find the quarterback, things look better. Again, 216-474-0092. Do you feel bad for Miles? And do you really think that blowing things up is in the best interest of the Cleveland Browns? Let's go back out to the phones. Todd is in Ward 1. What's going on, Todd?
No, I don't feel bad for Miles. That's an absurd question to me.
No. Why is that?
No, man. Miles' life is good, man. I don't know what's going on with his personal affairs. If I knew more about his personal affairs, I might feel bad about something. But no, man. No. So that's the answer to that question. And no, don't blow everything up. This is pretty close to what we anticipated the team would be. And let's be realistic, fellas. There's 9 games left, and 3 of those games are in the division. There's a lot of opportunity here, and they are not so bad that they cannot capitalize well on that opportunity. Now, I did feel bad for Gabriel when they called that flea flicker. Did you?
I mean, I felt bad for my eyes when they called that flea flicker. Todd, I'm going to be honest. There's a lot of things I felt bad for. Yeah, there wasn't anything good about that.
I felt very bad for Gabriel. If that would have came across my ears and my with my helmet on, I would have radioed back. Hey, man, you have to bench me. I ain't about to run no flea flicker. That ain't happening. At minimal, as soon as he went into the locker room, they should have went over to Haslam and was like, that wasn't on me. Kevin called that play. Because that didn't even look good from the start, man. And that's not the time to call a flea flicker anyway in any game. I don't even care if you're up by 100. You don't do something like that. I felt bad for that dude. I was like, that's gonna be on his record right there. And man, they're 9 games left. They got 3 left in the division. I thought we should give more accolades to Alex Wright as well. I know I saw 3. Did he get at least 4 tackles behind the line of scrimmage? I know I saw 3. And they're gonna get there, man. I felt pretty good about that loss, taking in consideration what they got left in front of them. And even if they had won by 1, it still would have just been a win. And if they had lost by 1, it still would have just been a loss. Did they come out of the game relatively intact? Is a lot of people banged up? No, not really. So no further comment, man. That's it. That's 9 games left, 3 in the division. Everybody simmered down.
Todd, I hope one day to have the optimism that you have, and I appreciate the call.
Yep.
I mean, listen, Todd's riding high on the fact. Like, listen, I don't look at a game in this division and feel like it's legitimately winnable at this point. One, the Steelers are making trades to at least add to their team right now. Like, they just got Kyle Duggar from the Patriots earlier on this hour. They're adding. The Ravens are only going to get better as they get healthier. The Bengals, not a very good team. They lost to the Jets this week. They have offensive production. Like, there's something to be at least a positive for in all those teams. I don't think you're capitalizing on much of this schedule, if we're being 100% honest. Watching that game, like, you think it was as bad as it looked. The offense, at least, at the very least, was as bad as it looked. You want to say the score got out of hand because the defense is forced to be on the field and they didn't play that bad? Sure. Like, the loss was bad. I don't know. I have to feel bad for Miles. Let's keep the calls going, though. Jeff is in Chesterland. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Good. Beautiful night in Cleveland tonight. So do I feel bad for Miles? Yeah, I really don't feel bad for anybody that's in the NFL, and I sure don't feel bad about his big paycheck he gets. But, you know, it really sucks for him, though. And he really wanted to be in Cleveland, though. He negotiated that contract. He wanted to be here. He knew that we had no quarterback. So, I mean, he's as frustrated as the fans are. We never saw this coming. This was like the worst case scenario where we're sitting right now. And I mean, he's just going to be maybe another Joe Thomas, and we all love Joe Thomas. So,
I mean, Jeff, I mean, we get the, like, at least he gets the love, and I think he will be beloved at the end of the day. And I appreciate the call. I think Miles, there's going to be people frustrated with him fresh off of this. At the end of the day, yeah, it's going to be a guy that sure you requested a trade. He also put together ridiculous numbers. And one way I do, like, understand the I don't feel bad for a guy that's making a boatload of money and, like, $40 million, there's bigger problems in the world. Like, I understand that, right? I'm not out here making $40 million, guys. Okay, I understand that, like, nobody needs to cry tears for a guy who's going to have a massive paycheck and a massive bank account at the end of the day. Also, like, money doesn't solve everything. Like, you want to be successful in your career. And I think guys at this level wanting to find just a way to win games and be a competitor, and that's what really drives them. You can find financial success without feeling like you're achieving career success. Like, without being happy in your career, you can get paid a paycheck. There's plenty of people out there who can attest to that, who bring in a pretty penny but don't love their job. Right now, it feels hard for Miles to love his job. Sure, money might make up for that a little bit. I still look at it as the person that I'm watching, the guy who wants to go out there and win and is doing everything in his power. And the defense really, for the most part, is doing everything in their power to try to ensure that you're getting wins on the board. When it's not being answered the other way and worse than you expected. It's like, yeah, you feel bad for that at some point. Like, guys are putting their bodies on line. Carson Schlesinger might be heading to the IR right now with a high ankle sprain because he's putting his body on the line when it feels like you're getting no help on the other side. It's a game at the end of the day. They get to play the game they love. But, like, I think that at the very least, I turn to my GM and I turn to my coach and I go, guys, you're supposed to put a competitive product on the field. If not competitive, entertaining. You have one job right now and neither of you are doing it. Andrew's not doing a ton for his job, and this team isn't really playing up to help Andrew out right now, and certainly Kevin is not doing the entire scope of his job. Miles is the one person that I look at right now. If it's nobody else, it's certainly Miles, and I go, he's taking care of business, right? You put him on any other team, it's going to succeed. Can't really say that for a lot of other guys on this team right now. Even the guys coming off the other edge, the defense looks good. Miles is still outworking and outperforming every single person there. He's got the right to be frustrated. All right, let's leave that there. When we come on back, our very own Daryl Ryder, we'll ask him about Miles, and, well, Daryl Ryder will certainly have comments on Andrew Berry failing to speak. It's all in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.